Hey, it's good to be here with you tonight. Glad to see all those present with us. On behalf of Brother Allen and I, I'd like to thank the congregation here for inviting us to participate in this weekend meeting. It's certainly been uplifting to us. I hope it has been to for you as well. You just learned just half as much as I did from preparing this. I'm sure it would be beneficial to you as well. As you may know from those of many of you have been here each night through the meeting, and we've been talking about spiritual growth. And Friday night we talked about, Alan talked about the fruits of spiritual growth. And Saturday night we talked about the positive attitude of spiritual growth. And then this morning about role models in spiritual growth. And tonight we'd like to talk about spiritual growth as a choice. So we talked about all the things about spiritual growth, or many of them. You know, it comes down to basically, if we want to grow spiritually, it's a choice that we have to make. Nobody's going to make us do it. And I'd like to share something with you as an introduction. I found out a couple of months ago that I was a type 2 diabetic. And, you know, I've been knowing for a good while that I need to lose some weight and I need to eat right. But, you know, when you go to the doctor and they tell you your sugar level's way up there high of the roof, well, guess what? That day, I made a choice to start eating better. And, you know, I got to the point I had to. And, you know, I had talked about it. I had thought about it. But, you know, I never had done anything about it. So, therefore, it got to where it affected my health. But, you know, from that day forward, I made a choice and I made a conscious effort to do a better job eating. And, you know, just like with us, with spiritual growth, we might talk about it. We might think about it and everything. But, you know, it's not going to really do any good until we actually take action and make that choice. Joshua made a choice. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, he said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So Joshua took a stand. He made a stand. He made a choice that for him and his house, that they were going to serve the Lord. And that's what we have to do in spiritual growth. So we'd like to look at several different passages here and several different aspects of spiritual growth, and certainly others that may come to your mind and those scriptures that we could use. We've just chosen just a few here. Peter describes how we are to grow in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So certainly these are some things that we need to have in our lives to be able to grow spiritually. Unlike physical growth, which occurs with little effort, spiritual growth requires concentrated effort. Of course, we need certain things to make us grow and be healthy physically, but you know, I know that myself. Just if you just eat anything, you're going to develop and grow somewhat. But you know, spiritually, it's not that way. It requires a concentrated effort to be able to grow spiritually. It's not something that just happens by itself. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Because wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So it requires a concentrated effort on our part. We are not alone in our efforts for spiritual growth. The next verse after that in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 tells us, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And also in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul here tells us, speaking to the church at Ephesus, again, we are not alone in our efforts for spiritual growth. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we see we are not alone in our efforts for spiritual growth, and these are some tools that the Word of God gives us that we can assist us in our spiritual growth. But Aaron mentioned in one of his lessons about reviewing goals. And certainly if we're going to accomplish anything in life, we need to have goals. Whether it's something on our job or a physical thing like losing weight or whatever, we need to have a goal if we're going to obtain that. So it's important for us to review goals daily. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus speaking here, he said, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I'd like to use an example here of something I heard one time as we think about reviewing our goals daily to make sure that we're on the right track. Because, you know, you can't always just say, well, that's my goal, and 20 or 40 or 60 years later look at it and go, well, you know, I didn't make it. Because I heard this story one time that if you took just an ordinary compass and took a reading on it here as to the direction of where New York City is and started in that direction and never looked at your compass again, chances are you'd miss New York City. And we all know how big New York City is, and you think, well, how could you miss it? But the thing about it is, it's just a very narrow amount of error to the right or to the left. That many miles away could put us hundreds of miles to the left or to the right, and we wouldn't hit New York City. But you know, if we traveled, say, 50 miles and took another reading, or traveled 100 miles and took another reading, and then took another 100 miles and took a reading, or just each day as we travel, you know what we'd do? We'd be correcting our course just a little bit each day, and then we would hit right on it. And that's what we have to do in spiritual growth. We have to make sure that we're aiming for a goal, but we have to look at that goal constantly and make sure we're headed in the right direction and make those changes in our lives that we need to. We will never live better than we know. I don't remember the first person that ever said that, but it can't be a more true statement. We'll never live better than we know. I mean, we may know to do the right thing and not do it, but if we don't know to do the right thing, we're doomed before we start. Let's look at a couple of passages here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, that we're all familiar with. Apostle Paul here, speaking to young Timothy, says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, we'll never live better than we know. We have to study the word of God. Certainly we know that's got to be a part of our spiritual growth. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And certainly one reason why we want to grow spiritually is that we want to make it to heaven, but also that we can affect those around us, those that we come in contact with us. And when they see that within us, and they want to ask, well, what's different about you? We talked about our Christian attitude and so forth. And we see others that serve as role models, we need to be able to give an answer of the hope that is in us. Be able to tell them scriptures why we believe what we believe. Again, we'll never live better than we know. And also in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, if these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. This is the first century church here. They said that they searched the scriptures daily for these things were so. They didn't take the word out of the speaker, whoever who was speaking there. They studied for themselves. And I'd encourage you to do the same, whether it's me or anyone else. Because, you know, we'll be judged according to God's word, the Bible, not according to what anyone said. again, we'll never live better than we know. We may also notice here it said they searched the Scriptures daily. Brings to mind the passage that we read just a few moments ago about it being daily as well. You know, daily is something that we're going to have to, it's going to have to be a part of our spiritual growth. It's going to be, we're going to have to take action daily. Not just when we have time, not when we get caught up on our chores or whatever it is that is bogging us down. It's going to have to be a daily part of our lives. We must put our thoughts and words into action. This is, I talked about me eating better. You know, it didn't do any good to talk about it. But you know, it doesn't do any good to talk about helping other people or about doing better in our lives. It doesn't do any good to think about it. It doesn't do any good to talk about it unless we're going to actually do it. Let's look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Getting a very familiar passage here about the Good Samaritan. And think about this passage as we read it about spiritual growth and it being a choice. Because there were three individuals here and all three had a choice. Two of them made the wrong choice and the third one made the correct choice. Luke chapter 10 and begin with verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, he came by and looked on him and passed by on the other side. And those thieves were two people that would be considered religious people, a priest and a person from the tribe of Levi. People you think would have helped this individual. But notice in verse 33, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came by where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And you know, the Samaritans weren't very well thought of. But he was the person that helped. In verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave it to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I will come again, I will repay thee. And Jesus says, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor to him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. Again, we must put our thoughts and words into action. You know, the priest may have thought about helping the man. The Levite might have thought about helping the man, but they didn't help him. They passed by on the other side. So they just looked on him and walked on. You know, just thinking about helping somebody or thinking about doing the right thing is not going to help. But actually doing that action. And certainly that Samaritan, and we have that saying even today, someone that helps someone out, known as a good Samaritan. And so that comes from this passage in the Bible. And he went well beyond what may have been required of him, not only helping him and leaving money for him to help more. And he said, if you spend more than that, I'll pay it the next time I come through. He went above and beyond maybe what would have been required. Next passage we'd like to look at is in James chapter 2 and verse 14. Again, thinking about we must put our thoughts and words into action. I thought here is be warmed and filled. And you know, I really like the book of James because James just kind of puts it out there where it's not much a way for us to misunderstand it. James chapter 2 and verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? So even faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But what thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. And you know, this just paints a picture in my mind of him talking about being warmed and filled. If someone comes to your house, cold and hungry, and open up the door, and you say, look, I'm cold and hungry, I need some help. And you just say to them, be warmed and filled, and slam the door in their face. I said James just lays that out. There's no misunderstanding that whatsoever. We know good and well that's not going to help that person whatsoever. Probably going to hurt your feelings. You've been better off if we didn't go to the door. But that's what we do when we don't help those that are in need. And especially if we just say we are and not do it. And also in this thought, we'd like to look at one other passage in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We've got to put those thoughts into action. We've got to put our words into action. Next we'd like to look at, we are commanded to evangelize the world. Let's look to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, beginning verse 18, we see Jesus speaking here, was commonly referred to as the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So we know Jesus was speaking here to his apostles, but he was speaking also to us today, that we are to evangelize the world. But you know, sometimes when we think about evangelizing the world, we think about, well, you know, how can I evangelize the world? Maybe everybody can't be like Harry Cobb or Brother Danny and go to Africa or the Philippines or around the world, or Brother Danny go into Mexico and places. But you think, how can I evangelize the world? Maybe one person at a time. Because each and every one of us come in contact with people on your job, at school, at work, family members that I'll never talk to, that you know better than I'll ever know. Maybe one person at a time. Maybe by example, by us living a Christian life. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul here is speaking to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, or manner of life, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know, people would rather see us live a sermon than preach one any day. And certainly we'll do that by living before them and understanding, or allowing them to understand that being a Christian is something special in our lives, and that it's not just something that we wear as a name, it's something that we live in our lives. Again, how can we evangelize the world? By example, is by our speech. Let's look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. To walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time, let your speech be always with grace seasoned with salt, that you may know how to, you ought to answer every man. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. In other words, use the best ability of our time. You know, we reach out to the world every day. There'd be people around us that may never read the Bible, may never walk into the church every day, but us as Christians are going to reach out to those people. We have to use that time wisely. Let our speech be always with grace, even with salt. That we watch the words that we say, that we know how we should answer, and be careful with our answers. Be careful with what we say or what we don't say. How we say it, maybe even the tone of our voice. As Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, sometimes it's just not what we say, but it's the way we say it. And also, by example, in the places that we go, or maybe the places that we shouldn't go. Also in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 18, says, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief. You ever seen people sometimes when there's something bad going on, everybody wants to go towards it? There's a fight at work or school or whatever, and everybody wants to go that way. You know, that shouldn't be going towards the trouble. We should be going away from the trouble. So certainly we are commanded to evangelize the world, and we may not be able to go all the way around the world. Maybe we could support that with our finances. But also, we can evangelize the world one person at a time, just by the people that we come in contact with, the people that you have influence with that I'll never meet in my lifetime, maybe. But each one of us has that own list of people. Next question we'd like to ask concerning spiritual growth is, can we choose to do nothing? Is spiritual growth optional? I want you to think about that a minute. Can we choose to do nothing? Because, you know, we're talking about spiritual growth. You know, there may be those that would like to grow spiritually, and these are the things that they need to do. But, you know, others might be thinking to themselves, well, you know, I'm okay the way I am. Maybe I don't want to grow spiritually. I don't want to do any more than what I'm doing right now. So let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30 here. About the parable of the talents. And we'll think about here about two questions here about, is spiritual growth required? And also, can we do nothing? Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And you know, some will say, well, you know, this was just a parable. Maybe that's not exactly the way it was. But you know, that's the way Jesus taught, was in parable, in example. And I think the very first verse of this parable gives us a lot of insight in. He says, this is what the kingdom of heaven's like. So, you know, if we want to make it to heaven, this is what we need to notice. This is what we need to understand. Verse 15, he says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. How many times have we heard that in prayers? That we hope to hear that on judgment day, that we want to hear, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But who heard that? The person that had 5 talents? You know, we might look at these as opportunities or abilities or whatever. He had 5 and he used them. And also, in verse 22, it says, and also he that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents, and behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Again, is that not what we want to hear on judgment day? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The person was given 2 talents, 2 abilities, 2 opportunities, and he made 2 others with it. And notice carefully in verse 24, and then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou wert a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not struck. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. Now think about this now. This had the 1 talent here. He didn't lose it. He didn't go out and squander it away. He didn't go out and make bad choices that he caused to lose it. He just went out and dug a hole in the ground and just kept it. And when the Lord came back, he just dug it up and gave it back to him. But keep in mind, he didn't lose what he had. Verse 26, and the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put thy money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury or interest. He said, you should have made some gain of what I gave you. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. But to everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that that he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that last verse tells us the last thing that we want to hear on Judgment Day is cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you tell me, can we choose to do nothing? Is spiritual growth optional? I don't think so. I believe it's required of us, and I believe if we just try to maintain the status quo and we don't grow, we're going to be held accountable for that. And we can't just give back the life to God that He gave to us with no gain. And keep in mind, He didn't lose what He had, He just gave it back with no increase. So I think we'd have to answer that question is, can we do nothing? Of course we can't. And is spiritual growth optional? No, it's not. It's required. We have only 2 choices, basically, in this life, of pathways to follow. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You might say, I thought we were just talking about spiritual growth this weekend. I didn't know we were talking about going to heaven and going to hell, and was it not all one and the same? You know, there's just 2 choices in the parable we just read, those that grew spiritually and those that didn't. One group was saved and the other was lost. And in our life, there's going to be those opportunities. We can choose the straight way, the narrow way, or the wide way. One's going to lead to heaven and one's going to lead to hell. And we've got to recognize which road we're on and whether or not we need to make any changes in our lives. We have to make many choices in this life. But you know, one choice that we can make is we can choose not to sin. And man within himself is a sinful being. But even as Christians, there's always a way of escape. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul here speaking to the church at Corinth, tells us there is no temptation taking you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also always make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Again, we're human beings, and sometimes we're not going to take that way of escape. We're going to let temptation come upon us, and we're going to give in at times. But if we do, it's our fault. Every time we sin, it's our fault. There's always a way of escape. You know, we were called back when Joseph was tempted to sin. One time he had to just physically run away. Where did he wind up? He wound up in prison. But you know, we'd be better off to wind up in prison for the rest of our lives and go to heaven than to live a sinful life upon this earth and a earthly pleasures and go to hell. But there's always a way of escape. So in our life, if we think about spiritual growth, there's always a choice for us to make. One other verse we'd like to look at is in James chapter 1 and verse 12. We are blessed if we make the right decision, because if we choose that way of escape, the next time temptation for sin comes upon us, it'll be just a little bit easier, and the next time it'll be a little easier for us to overcome that temptation, not to sin. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. If we endure that temptation, there's eternal life, a crown of life awaiting us. So spiritual growth comes to those that serve and not to those that offer excuses. You know, as we think back to Moses, you know, there was a time when God called upon Moses to lead the children of Israel, and you know, Moses had a few excuses there. He talked about his speech, that he just wasn't quite as up to the task. And you know, God didn't accept him with excuses. He provided a way. And Moses, he served God. But you know, we can't be filled with excuses when it comes to spiritual growth. We've got to be filled with action. Spiritual growth comes from a choice to serve. That concludes our talks for tonight and the lesson. I hope that it's been beneficial to you. Like I said, it's certainly been beneficial to me in studying this. If there's any here tonight that never rendered obedience to the gospel, there's faith, confession, repentance, and baptism, or those that have and straight away and like the prayers of the church, or if you've just not made that choice for spiritual growth and you'd like the prayers of the church here to help you in that struggle, if we could assist you in any way, we'd ask you to come while we stand. While we stand, some of the invitation. 6:42.